So whereabouts are you these days? Are you East Coast, West Coast, somewhere in between?
I am in New York City for the next week or so, then back to the West Coast, back to Los Angeles.
And it's a temporary thing.
Yes, it's temporary. It's a vacation of sorts, but a vacation where lots of work is being done and no real vacation is being had at all.
So you're bi, but you're not sure which way you want to go?
Yes, I'm what they call coastal questioning.
Coastal questioning. That's the way we kick off episode 37 of Foul Territory.
We just have to like to have a lot of diversity on the program. We include all orientations, including questioning.
And north, south, east, and west, it doesn't matter. You can be whatever direction you want to be.
That's not what I meant, John.
I'm John Sumple, since you introduced me. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And if this is your first time listening to us, where the hell have you been?
Also, apologies.
For what you're about to go through. So do we have any kind of bit thing or any
No,
kind
you
of
know what?
you
Here's the
want to just
thing. Normally,
roll?
this is just, I don't know what's going on. I had all the time in the world to set this up, and then we decided to shift the time, and I was like, yeah, it's no big deal, but I realized I hadn't really set up the show. So basically, this is going to be, we're going to wing it a bit.
This
The
is
show
going to
doesn't
be
have a setup bit, except unless we're calling the setup bit being the bit about how we have no bit. That's a bit in a
no
way.
bit. Yeah,
It's
it
no
is
bit
kind of.
bit.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for us to flex our creativity and our spontaneous ability to improvise. And yeah.
In other words, it's going to be one of our worst shows ever.
So hang in there. We'll get through it together. So let's jump into it. Let's go right into
Yeah,
the
forget
whole.
about us. Who cares? What are you
Yeah.
doing, John? You can't ask about me, but what are you doing?
What am I doing? I
Yeah, what are you up
am.
to? What's going on?
Let's see. Went to Mount
You know
St.
what? Never mind.
Helens.
We'll talk about it later. Let's talk about some
Yeah, we'll
baseball.
talk. Yeah, we'll talk baseball. Yeah. Okay. Let's just get into the headlines here. So a little bit of flurry at the end of August trade deadline.
Unprecedented, one could say.
Yeah, it was in some big names. I'll save the first one to after this one, but the Upton and Phillips trade to the Angels, it's like, what are the Angels trying to do? Get as old as they possibly can during the Mike Trout era?
No, here's what they're trying to do, John. I'm going to tell you. The secret is the Angels have been one of the worst teams in the league against left-handed pitching. Now they have Brandon Phillips, who hits left-handed pitching pretty well, and Justin Upton, who hits left-handed pitching very well. And you know what they had to give up for those guys? A couple of bags of baseballs. So who cares?
And do you really think that they have an opportunity to, well, we've talked about this already, but to make a serious run for the wild card?
I think the San Francisco Giants have proven that literally any team can win the World Series. And if you've got Mike Trout on your team and a decent supporting offense and then some pitching, like their bullpen's good. They've cobbled together a nice bullpen. The starting pitching, not amazing.
No.
I'm trying to be diplomatic. Obviously, it's not as good as any of the other playoff teams. They all have better pitching rotations. But you get into that, you get into the playoffs, and then it's just who knows, you know? And I don't think it costs them any players. And Justin Upton, they're saying, is going to opt out of his contract, which is part of the reason why they didn't have to give up
Right.
much to get him. So yeah, it's worth a shot, right?
Yeah, and right now the Angels are the best team in LA.
Yeah, well, okay, buddy. But they just took over the second wild card, right?
Yeah, they've been hanging
Okay.
in there. They're doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, the other teams, just nobody wants it.
It has been more of that. Like, it's more of an attrition thing, but.
Yeah, it's a survival. Whoever survives is going to be the second wild card team.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. But the other big trade was Justin Verlander.
Minutes before the deadline.
Yeah, mere minutes, because he according to an interview, he paced back and forth trying to figure out, and he was debating with himself, and he and Kate were sitting there in the living room, and he was
Nude,
asking,
I assume.
probably.
Have you seen the nudes, by the way? Not to take a tangent.
Old
Have you
ones
seen
I
the
saw,
nudes?
not new ones. Are there new ones?
Well, not brand new, but from the
Yeah.
Fappening.
Yeah, I saw
All right.
those. Yeah, they were everywhere.
Yeah, they were literally everywhere. I actually saw them without looking for them. That's how everywhere they were. And they sometimes just, I'll go looking for stuff like this because I'm a modern person.
Right, and you're into pop culture.
And I'm into pop culture and baseball.
And naked bodies.
Like every red-blooded American. But that might be my own shame. But yeah. Anyway, so back to what were we talking about?
Justin Verlander pacing back and forth. His whole thing is because he had the no trade clause, and he could have negated the whole thing. And he ultimately said, "I got to do it. You know, I got to listen to my inner self, and what does my inner self want?" And apparently, his inner self wanted to play in the playoffs, which is kind of a good thing.
Yeah,
and he decided at the last minute.
It's the move that the Astros, you and I have been talking about. This is the move that they needed to do.
Mm-hmm. And he pitched great last night.
Yeah.
Or the night before or whenever you're listening.
Right.
But against the Seattle.
Earlier this week.
Good game. Yeah.
Yeah, the Mariners, who the wheels have fallen off the cart.
Yeah, the Mariners give up 2 hits and lose 3-1. That's how it's going for the Mariners these days.
Hey, it's baseball, man. You cannot predict it. But anyways, a really good trade for both teams, I think. The Tigers got some nice players back. I mean, they're not like, you know, premium players. I assume that had more to do with how much money that the Tigers were paying. But the Tigers paid a little bit of the contract, and basically now 3 of their top 7 prospects are from this trade.
And you look at, you know, Houston. Houston's brought up a majority of their best prospects over the last 2-3 years. So they've got a young core anyway. This just adds a veteran presence in the bullpen. And it's something that the players have been saying. They were curious as to why the team wasn't making any moves at the July 31st deadline, and boom, here they go and get a big piece to help them in the final stretch, which is really something that they needed because they weren't necessarily playing too well since the All-Star break. And this is a little shot in the arm.
That's true. But that, and I think the Carlos Correa coming back from the from the disabled list, that's been a real nice boost for them. They're back up to scoring 5 or 6 runs a game. Not that he caused that, but, you know, hitting's infectious and all that stuff, or contagious.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think everybody has a little bit more confidence that they're getting, you know, all the pieces, you know, in place for the stretch run. So it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Should we talk, even though it's not on the list, about the streaking Dodgers?
Oh, did I not put that on there? Oh,
we have the streaking Indians and Diamondbacks.
You know what, I meant to put that in there right above the Indians and the Diamondbacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that shortly.
Okay. So let's talk about your Red Sox.
Yes. In the great New England tradition.
I just think it's funny that, you know, I love how everybody's piling on with the Patriots, the Red Sox, and all that stuff. It's every team and every sport does anything that they can possibly do to gain an advantage, including stealing signs. They just got caught.
Yeah. I mean, that's why teams try to obscure signs, is because the other team is going to try to steal them. Here's the problem that I have. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, the Boston Red Sox were essentially caught, it's unclear how much they were caught, but they were using an Apple Watch to communicate with the video booth about stealing signs against the Yankees earlier this year, right? This is back in July. These complaints were filed. And apparently Major League Baseball said, like, yes, this was a legitimate complaint, and they were actually doing this. And the team has apparently fessed up to it, though the manager claims that he has no idea. And you know what? Normally I would believe a manager. I wouldn't believe a manager, but when it's John Farrell, you know what? I really do think he didn't know what was going on with his team, because he doesn't know what's going on with the bullpen or the bench or the starting lineup on any given day. So I'm gonna believe that he didn't know.
Yeah, they were trying to protect him for his own good.
Right, for his own good.
But all the players
knew. Already got enough going against him.
Yeah, the players knew. They were aware that this was going on, and I think part
of it. What's the system here, though, John? Let me just ask what the system is. The catcher puts down a sign, let's say fastball inside.
Right.
Then a guy on a video prompter from the future sees it on the video prompter, and then relays the message to the watch. The guy with the watch gives a signal to one of the players. One of the players gives a signal to the player at second base. The player at second base then gives the signal to the batter.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that.
I feel like this was maybe like something that kind of happened.
Yeah, but the biggest thing in that is more about location. When batters have an idea of the location, they're going to be a little bit more tuned in. And that's one of the things that I read. Girardi said that he was surprised at some of the pitches that were hit because they were hitting really good pitches off the plate.
I see.
So it's like, yeah, well, okay, so.
First of all, Girardi is full of horse shit. Normally I don't use bad language on the show, but that guy is just so full of horse shit. Anyway, what's interesting to me is how did this go so quickly? Like, in a way, I'm almost just impressed. Obviously, teams shouldn't cheat, blah, blah, blah. But in a way, it's impressive. A communication stream that's that quick.
If they were able to pull that off, where they were able to relay that four-prong relay to a batter before the pitch was thrown, that's pretty impressive. It is.
I say let them do it. Yeah. I mean, this isn't like the Blue Jays with the guy in the hotel window.
Right.
Right.
Picking signs, right. That's different. Whole different world. Yeah, but it's every team has some sort of system where they're looking to pick up on.
Well, don't the Yankees... Aren't the Yankees also being accused of trying to steal signs? And
if they start looking for it, they're going to find
cameras to steal signs. Like,
if they start looking for it, every team is going to get caught doing something. Yeah. Players are always looking for an advantage. That's why they have gels on their necks and their gloves and, you know, sandpaper and whatever you can get as corked bats, whatever you can think of. You know, players have always been looking for an advantage. It's part of the sport. Unfortunately,
ask you this. How big a penalty do you think they're going to get? It's just money, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a lot.
The league came down on them about that international signings thing?
Yeah, that was pretty big.
That was pretty intense. It was like, and then all the other scouts were like, wait, we all do this, though. Mm-hmm. Why? One team got punished? We all do this.
Right.
I guess we better not do it anymore. I guess it's the Red Sox. They can take their lumps.
But if the tables were turned, it was the Yankees. You'd be jumping all over.
Honestly, I'm all about fair process. When Bounty Gate happened with New Orleans, I was like, really, this is what was happening? I find this very hard to believe. And it turns out it was all BS that the league pushed on everybody, and none of these things really happened. And then I was like, well. And then when Deflategate came along, which was even more BS, it was like, well, yeah, okay, see, that's the thing. That's why you have to trust and you have to have faith in the process, and you have to push for it to have a principled process, primarily proposed.
This is the alliteration show.
It's important. It's important for league integrity that the process is all the same. When Josh Brown, or whatever that guy's name was from the New York Giants, gets like no game suspension for beating up his wife because the person doing the investigation is a Giants fan. And then Ezekiel Elliott gets a 6-game suspension for beating up his girlfriend. That feels like an irregular process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes, if the process is fair, good. If you cheat and you get caught, good. Just be consistent. The whole Deflategate thing was
consistent
first of all,
cheating
nothing
or consistent in how you.
First of all, yes, of course, be consistent in cheating. No, here's the thing about being consistent in cheating: never be consistent.
Right, always change it up.
Change serpentine, it up so it's unprovable. Exactly, serpentine, right. Shelley, serpentine.
That's going right? way back.
That's what I was yelling at Rickon Stark. During like, what are you doing running in a straight line, my friend?
Exactly saying the same thing. Yeah, what was the movie that was in? It was with Peter Falk and
Out of Towners, right?
What was that?
No, not the Out of Towners. The In-Laws.
The In-Laws. That's it. Yeah, the In-Laws.
Something like that.
Yeah, good movie. So let's move on.
Serpentine.
Let's get back.
Rickon, why are you running straight? Who runs like, straight, man?
Because arrows are in the air for a long time.
Yeah. Also, first of all, I mean, in his defense, that's completely impossible.
It is. But they do it all the time. When they send a ship out with a dead body in it, you know, it's a half a mile offshore, and they shoot a flaming arrow, hit it every time. It's amazing.
You mean the floating ship that's not running away?
Right. Well, but they do that where they push him off, and they showed one scene in one of the rivers, and the boat must have been 200 yards from the dock, and they hit it with one arrow.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm just saying, this guy launches an arrow into the air. This is Game of Thrones redux here. This guy launches an arrow into the air, which, by the way, I just noticed that arrow and air, anyway, are phonetically similar. Anyway, I either have too much coffee or not enough. I'm not sure, but it's not leveled right, John. Anyway, so he launches this arrow into the air. No one, by the way, is yelling at him like, zigzag. Maybe they hadn't invented zigzags yet at that time, but certainly they'd heard of serpentine.
Right.
There's dragons, for crying out loud.
Dragon step it. Do something different. Don't run in a straight line. Yeah, that was one of those things. I was doing the exact same thing. I was like, why is he running in a straight line?
I would say in that show, in Game of Thrones, that sequence is one of the stupidest sequences. Like, that was, to me, was written by the least clever person on the planet. To have that kid killed by... Look, and I know you want to kill him off. Just kill him off in a less stupid way. Then to have Jon Snow charge the field, completely giving up their defensive position. What are you, Jon? What are you doing?
That's right.
He makes some of the stupidest tactical maneuvers, and somehow he's still alive, though technically he was dead. Spoiler alert.
He hasn't learned his lesson.
He's so dumb sometimes. I can't even.
Well, you know,
I can't tell if they're trying to make him dumb or whether it's just dumb writing.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting. Have you seen the countdown clocks that are on for the show that doesn't start until 2019?
No, I haven't.
There's countdown clocks already.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic. Let's get back to baseball. So
right? Like, look, no one really cares. There's like, look, everyone whose team is out of it, they're not listening anymore. They don't care. We're not doing hot stove stuff yet, so if no one cares. So really, they're just here for random jibber jabber, and let's just give them that.
Yeah, I mean, like last week, I think that was, they want more voices.
They want more voices. John, we did a statistical analysis of the algorithms of the show. Serpentine, Shell, serpentine. Everyone knows if you take the pi times the radius of a serpentine quadratic equation.
See,
that was so weird. I texted you about this. It was so. I listened to that again, which I listened to like every other one that we've done. I don't remember saying most of the stuff I had said in that. It's totally embarrassing, and yet at the same time, I was like, "Oh, who's this weird guy on my headphones?"
Yeah, that was my wife was listening to it too, and she was laughing out loud. And she was like, "This is funny. This is your funniest show yet." I think she even commented on it, which she never does.
Yeah.
I think that's the first show she's listened to since the first one, but, she did listen to it.
Well, it's the funniest of the two.
There you go. Most definitely.
I'll concede that.
The first one had, was filled with rookie mistakes and, babbling and dead spots.
I think
spots
we pulled that from the internet, right? Like, there's no way anyone can...
I have it. I'll eventually get it up there.
All right.
Maybe it'll be... We'll issue the lost episodes down the road.
You know what we'll do is on weeks where we don't do a podcast, we'll just post one of the old ones that,
that no one's heard. We'll just pick it at the time of the year and we'll just slot it in. They'll be like, didn't that happen last year?
This is not a terrible idea, John.
We'll just see if anybody notices that
we'll just say, look, no, it's a syndicated episode.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Just it gives you an opportunity to listen to the banter and the voices and the spots and the bits and the PSAs, all that stuff. And the dog barking.
Chica, what are you doing? All right. I think Chica's telling us to move along here.
Yeah, she's like, enough of the non-baseball banter. Okay, the Cincinnati Reds pick up Brian Price's option for 2018. Is it Brian? Brian Price? Brian, right?
Know.
You don't know.
I was impressed that you knew it was Brian.
I think it's Brian.
I know it's Price. Is he any good?
I mean, the fact that no one talks about him, maybe.
I guess he's not like, oh my God, you see what he did again? So he's not that. I don't quite understand what he does with the bullpen, but maybe he's doing that because last year was so terrible. Do you remember that last year with the Reds?
Yeah, it was the worst bullpen in baseball.
Worst ever?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Sometimes he throws Iglesias out there for a couple innings, like when it's not a save, and like, what are you doing, man?
Just to get him, getting him some work, since we don't have a lot of save opportunities. Just getting some little work in there.
But why two innings?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Doesn't that take him like out of the running for the next game? I don't know.
He's old school. Yeah. Pick out those 3-inning saves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know he's old school because he puts those low on base percentage guys at the top of the lineup because they're speedy.
Well, he did follow in the footsteps of Dusty Baker.
Yes.
So he's got that going for him.
How to Do It All Wrong by Dusty Baker.
So
like, you mean Dusty Baker who bats Anthony Rendon 6th in his lineup?
Yeah.
That's wins above replacement leader Anthony Rendon batting 6th in the lineup.
Yeah, that's not smart.
6th, John. Look, this tangent tirade brought to you by my fantasy baseball team that wants to know WTF with Anthony Rendon batting 6th. Why he should be batting 3rd or 2nd? I mean,
only Dusty
be like
knows.
Rendon, Harper, they're putting like Adam Lind ahead of him. That way it's left right batters. Okay, Dusty Baker.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's, you know, they're winning in spite of him because of the players on the field.
Yeah, that's certainly been his modus operandi, as they say.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question. On a side note, the word retard, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is now a negative word, which I completely concede. To say something is retarded, to say a person is a retard, it's a negative word. It shouldn't be said. It's a slur, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also disrespectful to people with those conditions. Here's the thing that you don't know about that word. If you say that word and then say you can't say that word in a movie, it doesn't matter. People who are offended by it are absolutely offended that you acknowledge the word exists and will give you a 1-star review. John, I have 3 1-star reviews on Amazon for my film Nowhere Girl, where the entire review is
based on that one word.
Use the R word.
Wow.
One person then goes on to claim that we're ridiculing people with Down syndrome, which makes me think they don't really know what retarded refers to, which again, it's a broader term than just Down syndrome. And I don't even think I would think of it. I guess some people would. But I certainly wouldn't limit it to that. There are other forms of, you know, mental impairment, developmentally disabled people, right? So in my film, I go out of my way to explain how this word is inappropriate. Nope. Just saying it is enough.
Yeah, that's
1-star review.
It's our PC world.
I weep for people that are just that retarded.
When I was a little kid, there was a school that wasn't too far from where I lived they referred to it as the school where the mentally retarded go, and it was not. I mean, that was part of the name.
Yeah,
but and this is back in the 70s. Obviously, the whole PC thing moved it into, you know, an unsafe territory. But that, I mean, there were certain things that over the years we have become much, much more sensitive to. And rightfully so to a certain extent, but I think the part of it there, and I know I'm going into a gray area here, is intent. You know, is the intent when you're using a word like that to slam somebody, or is it just a word?
Right. Are you using the word as a pejorative, as they say?
Right.
Pejorative, or are you just using the word as a lazy way to describe, you know, whatever?
Right.
Anyway.
So that's
a little tangent.
That's our social causes, social issues, use of words, linguistics, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you know, like 5 years ago, you could say that someone was a tranny.
Right. Now it's insensitive.
And now it's insensitive. And like, hey, I dig it. That's, you know, culture changes. And certainly those people have enough going on in their lives. It's not like I need to use that word. But 5 years ago, no one cared if you used that word.
Right. Anyway. Except for maybe trannies.
No. Trannies called themselves trannies back then.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, that's not like the N-word, where it's whatever. But, like, no one really cared because that's what they were. But then it sort of became like this other thing. And, like, well, okay, we're going to codify the terminology. Fine, good. So we don't use tranny anymore.
Well, let me just go off on another weird tangent. Since we do have some space to fill, because a couple of things got deleted for this show. I was downtown Seattle in the area that's very transient for both moving buses moving through and the individuals that that's their kind of habitat during the day. And we're inside a Walgreens, and if anybody is familiar with Seattle, you know the Walgreens on 3rd and Pike is a haven for crazy. And can I say crazy?
Yes.
And as
for
we're as we're in there, all of a sudden, a couple of homeless people who are hopped up on goofballs, whatever, come in the door and start yelling and screaming at each other. This woman's throwing the N-word around, Patrons in the store are horrified. The manager's horrified. The security guard is kind of watching it all go down and steps away. He doesn't do anything to interfere, calls 911. And there's spitting and kicking. And then another homeless girl comes in and just close-fisted, pops this other one in the face. And there's this big argument, throw down, the cops come. And it was like herding cats. There's like 15, 20 people and three cops, and they were all moving. Like, it was entertaining and sad at the same time.
Well, that's some of the best entertainment that there is.
True, it is. Some reality is sometimes the most entertaining. It's quite the.
It's quite a spectacle.
Yeah, and Mace was involved, and we're walking out the door. There's a guy half naked laying on the ground, and people are pouring milk in his eyes because he had been maced. And it was like, what?
And
is
it was
going
called
on?
The Aristocrats.
That's good comedy right there. That was just funny. It just was like all that happened in a matter of like 2-3 minutes. It just was, it's like somebody, picked up the rock and shed light
on
the bugs and they all went crazy. Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to baseball.
Sure.
So we finished. Okay. Now we can talk about the winning streaks and
yes,
losing streaks.
Winning streaks and losing streaks.
Yeah. We have the Indians and Diamondbacks. Is this historic that we've had two teams with one's at 12, the other's at 11, I think. Something like that?
I think it's 12 and 13 now.
12 and 13.
But it might even be more now that once this gets
posted.
Yeah,
could be.
Yeah, both these teams just finding ways to win against good teams. Well, no, that's not true. The Indians are playing all bad teams.
Well, the Diamondbacks, didn't the Diamondbacks sweep the Giants or the Dodgers twice?
Is that what it was?
I know. I mean, I think they played them twice. I mean, they've picked up 8.5 games on them.
Yeah, but there's still 12
out. Right, still a long way to go. Yeah.
So crazy. Like, I guess if you're the Dodgers and you've lost, 9 of the last 10 or something like that, now is the time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, get the funk out of the way, then, get things back on track before the playoffs, and then... And you always kind of want this, right? Like the undefeated football team. Like you want to get that one loss in week 15.
Yeah, you want to get kicked in the teeth so you're hungry going into the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
And is the important thing for the Dodgers, though, is to bounce back and to not limp all the way through September. That wouldn't be a good thing because that would be fans immediately are going to be like, oh, here we go again. We're dominant
almost
all year.
Almost getting no hit in multiple games consecutively.
Yeah.
Not awesome.
No. But Cody Bellinger's back. He was gone for, 10 days and came back and hit more home runs and is doing amazing things.
Yeah, he tied the rookie record for home runs.
Mm-hmm.
For Dodgers, anyway. And I think he's two away from the National League record.
And he'll get there, no problem.
Probably, yeah.
And Jock Peterson is back from his purgatory.
Yeah, and they brought up Walker Buehler,
who,
for those of you who don't know, is one of the top, 15 prospects in baseball. Pitching prospect, they're going to have him do some relief pitching, give him a taste. If he goes bananas, then he'll probably make the playoff roster as a long reliever or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's an exciting young player.
Yeah, it's the interesting time of the year for prospects coming up. And
some of our listeners may not know this. So September 1st, the rosters in baseball expand, and anybody that's on the 40-man roster in the organization can come up and play.
Yeah.
So teams can have as many as 40 guys on their team. So you'll see a game like the other day where the Angels used 12 pitchers.
That game must have lasted a while.
It was such a beautiful sight. Just the pitcher, the pitchers coming in and out, the manager going out to change. Oh, the best kind of baseball there is.
Yeah, that's snoozer baseball.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Let's put some limits on it like this. Bring everyone up, but let's have some freaking limits.
Well, I know that you're buying the Indians and the Diamondbacks, you know, based on previous episodes where we've talked about playoff contenders. What do you think, though, about what they're both doing now? Is this a reflection of how good these two teams are?
No, I mean, they're both playing over their heads. No team can do this extendedly, right? Like, just not in baseball. A lot of it's luck. Anytime you get a streak like this, there's a lot of luck involved. And then just like when there's a streak like the Dodgers, there's a lot of bad luck involved. You know, balls not bouncing in and, you know, a bad call by an umpire here or there and an amazing catch by an outfielder, that sort of thing, against you. You know, a slider left out over the plate, that sort of thing. Like, it's just bad luck. So there's so much luck involved in baseball that that's why there's 162 games, is you really have to prove it all out. And, you know, originally in the playoffs, the teams would play 9 games, best of 9. Back in the day, which was probably a more accurate representation of which was the better team.
Yeah, even like when, you know, going not too long ago, back in the 70s, or maybe even I think it was in the 70s, they switched over to the 4-game. The first round was best of 5. Back in when they went to the divisional baseball, it was best of 5. And that was, you know, when they didn't have as many teams in the playoffs without the wild card. So first round was best of 5, the championship series 7, the World Series was 7. So, yeah it's not necessary, because best of 5, the best team doesn't always win.
Yeah.
And even in the 7-game series. That
exactly.
It's, yeah, you just never know.
That Cardinals team that won the World Series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Eckstein being the MVP, like, that's baseball.
Yeah,
that was not a good team. That was a wild card team that lucked into the wild card spot all by itself. Just the getting the wild card was a lucky break for them.
Well, the Marlins, when they won in 2003, they got lucky against the Cubs.
Yes.
They were pretty.
Ruined a man's life.
Yeah, for good. But I wouldn't say dominant against the Yankees, but they definitely outplayed the Yankees in the World Series.
Yeah.
But the
Yankees had just played a 7-game series against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And left it all out on the field and just looked like it. Looked like they were like, hey, we already won the World Series. Nope. 7 more to go.
Yeah. Still work to be done.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got going on here. So
those
good
are
with
good teams, Diamondbacks. Yeah. And you and I have talked about this. Like, we were talking about, like, whether they should trade off all their pieces in the middle of the season. At the beginning of the season, we were talking about this. But I was like, but if these are good players, like
the Diamondbacks have, I think they're going to be. They could be the surprise team.
Yeah.
I don't say they're surprised, but they're.
I mean, they have enough pitching,
but they have. I think they have a really balanced team.
They have a. I don't like their bullpen. I will say they don't have the bullpen like everyone else has, like that deep bullpen that can take you after the fifth inning.
Fernando Rodney?
Archie Bradley. And exactly. They have Archie Bradley, and that's it. Fernando Rodney is okay, but you know he's just going to implode.
Yeah, you gnaw on your fingers every time. If you're a fan of any team that he's ever pitched for and you endure a season of Fernando Rodney as your closer, it's usually not good. There's so many ups and downs.
Yeah, that's why his nickname is ulcerative colitis. All right, it might not be.
You see. that's funny. A good comedy. That's why your folks are here, for the yucks.
Yeah, not for the baseball insights.
Okay, so the Matt Harvey, who used to be, you know, a phenom, is now kind of like, what's going on with Matt Harvey? What's he doing? Is he still playing baseball?
Well, he had that the core surgery, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
Yeah, after the elbow surgery, right?
Yeah.
And the core surgery. And
now they're trying to get him back out there. I thought it was strange, though, that they debuted him against Houston.
Threw him into the fire?
Well, no, because Hurricane Harvey had just gone through.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection.
Maybe they were like, you know what? Harvey's going to be terrible. This will be a chance for Houston to fight back against Harvey.
And how did he do?
He was awful.
Yeah. Oh.
He was so awful, they pulled him after 2 innings. They're going to shard him.
He sharded.
He definitely sharded. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, they're going to start him on short rest. They're going to shard him on short rest.
So he's not the Matt Harvey of old.
No, it's not the Dark Knight.
No.
It might be the Twilight.
Twilight Knight.
The Twilight Knight.
Yeah, it's sad when you see stuff like that happen, especially with the Mets, who look primed for a long run.
Yeah.
With that young,
dominant pitching
stuff.
I mean, is there anything cooler than just like a super awesome starting pitcher?
Oh,
I don't think there's anything cooler. Just like the Roger Clemens, you know, like that kind of guy who just, you know, that's one of the coolest things.
There's a lot of joy in a 10-9 ball game, and I just love the tension, especially in the playoffs, of a close 1-0, 2-1 ball game. That's baseball at its best.
Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry, Matt Harvey.
Yeah, apparently he won't be
pitching
some lovely
parting
gifts
for you
anymore. And we already talked about Cody Bellinger, and that pretty much wraps up headlines.
Yeah.
So then we would move normally into, well, actually we would move into starting nine and then seventh inning stretch, but I'm seeing a big note here, capital letters, 15-point font, canceled seventh inning stretch.
I didn't want to forget. Yeah, okay. You know, I felt it's just too incongruous to me. We throw talking about some other thing in the middle of a show about baseball. It just felt too incongruous.
It's like we're slamming on the brakes.
Yeah, I'm like, let's just keep talking about baseball. Now, we may add the seventh inning stretch in at the end of the show, maybe to do it ironically, calling it the seventh inning stretch.
Or extra innings.
Or what is it? What do they call it?
Overtime?
Weird baseball, right? Baseball that takes place after midnight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what they call it. Weird baseball.
Weird baseball.
What they call it on the social medias, John.
Right. I'm not listening to the social medias too much after midnight. All ball games are over here.
I don't blame you because it's crazy town.
Yeah, well, there's no baseball.
Oh, my God, did you see what Obama said? Oh, my God, did you see what Donald Trump said? Oh, my God, did you see what Hillary Clinton said? Oh, my God, did you see what Bernie Sanders said? That's Twitter. I just described Twitter.
Oh, wow. I'm not missing anything then. But the good news for me is that, you know, living on the West Coast, as you're well aware, is that every sporting event is over by 9 o'clock. Which is always, you know, not 9 o'clock, but if it's an East Coast.
But see,
game.
That's why it's called weird baseball, right? So if a game starts at 7 and goes 5 hours,
right?
That's weird baseball.
It is.
That's extra innings.
Extra innings. So we'll figure out what we're going to do with seventh inning stretch down the road. But well, let's move into one of the things that isn't going anywhere anytime soon, is the starting nine.
Yes, this is a keeper.
This is a keeper. This is the one where last week you had so much trouble describing what it was in your state of, as my wife termed it, jet lag. I thought that was pretty funny. So starting nine is your opportunity to take a theme, and this week it's Labor Day, and associate nine players in currently playing baseball with something somehow related to the theme. And this week it's Labor Day, and the theme is job names that sound
right.
Players with job names for
yes.
for Labor Day.
So this is, I don't think this is as clever as I thought it was going to be, just because there's actually so many that fit.
Okay.
But
are they funny ones? Or are they very
Brett
obvious?
Gardner.
One? Yeah. Okay. That's good. See? That's a good start now.
Right.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge.
Okay.
That's a job.
It is a job.
Yeah. Taylor Motter.
Taylor is
right.
Yeah, the tailor.
Mm-hmm. Like as in a clothing tailor, right?
Initially,
now, let me ask
you
this.
What's a Motter? I'm just trying to think. What does a Motter do?
Well, it talks to the fodder.
The mutter and the fodder?
Those aren't really jobs though, John, right?
Yeah, no, they're easy. Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Especially if you have multiple kids, because once you've had one, you know what you're doing. Right, parents?
Hey, is a Goldschmidt a thing? I feel like a goldsmith is a thing, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, Goldschmidt.
Yeah, that's Paul Goldschmidt.
He's a professional Goldschmidt.
Yeah. Matt Shoemaker, that's a person who makes shoes and mats.
Right. Otherwise known as a cobbler.
A cobbler, yes, but there was no Dave Cobbler.
No.
I got DJ LeMahieu.
That's good. Okay.
Mixing up the beats, trying to date your daughter.
Right.
You know, trying to date your teenage daughter. Let me see. Hunter. Is a hunter a job?
It could be. Professional hunter.
It could
hunter.
Be, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're going old school jobs, right?
Yeah.
Hunter gatherer. Hunter
gatherer. Yeah, it was a full-time job.
Derek Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, all you'd be working on an oil derrick, but then also, this is someone who fishes only from oil derricks.
That's probably a job for somebody on the derrick to catch
dinner. If it isn't, I'm starting a new business right now. And then, of course, there's Buck Farmer.
Uh-huh.
He's a farmer.
He's a farmer.
He farms bucks. Which might be that he gets money from the government.
Could be,
a buck farmer?
Subsidies.
Subsidies from the government?
That's a buck pretty farmer. Much everybody in the farming business is a buck farmer then.
Oh, is that right? Is that where we're
at? A lot
farming?
Of subsidies in the farming world.
Maybe we should get into that.
We'll do a podcast.
Okay, what about Noah Syndergaard?
Yeah.
Right?
Either that works for either captaining arcs or, you know, guarding prisons.
Yeah, see? You know what I'm talking about.
I got it.
What about Robert G. Selman?
That'll work.
He's out there, you know, he's just trying to make his cells. He's a cell man.
G. Selman.
Is there another word for that kind of person, for that occupation that I'm not thinking of?
I don't know.
You know, death of a G. Selman.
Right. Best one yet.
All right. And then there's Bren Trucker. Trucker.
Okay. Yes.
Brent Rooker. Bren Trucker.
Got
he's
it.
A trucker.
That'll work.
He trucks.
I like it when you dig deep and look for the creative.
Like G Cell Man.
Right. That's great. Those are great.
Yeah. I would say that this was too easy.
Right. I mean, you could every week, if you did nine Aaron Judges, it would be like, when are we going to retire this segment?
I guess that's probably true. This feels like if every week we did them this easy, we would retire this segment.
Right. And people would be like, why? I could do that.
Right.
You know, like every player that has a name that ends in Y. You know,
they're not that simple.
No, no, no. I'm just saying if it was predictable that everybody could figure it out. But when you do the creative ones, that makes it that's the cherry on top. Any more creative ones?
No, that's it. That's all I got.
That's it. That's
I think
all
that was
we got.
Like 10 too.
Okay. Outstanding. So we will skip.
Special mention to Doug Fister. I don't even want to know what that job is. And Madison Bumgarner. Anyone who's garnering bums, that's their own business.
I was going to say Trevor Plouffe, right? It's more of a fluffer. So you have a fluffer and a fister on the set, right?
Yeah. It's pretty grotesque.
Yeah, we'll pass on that.
Yeah, we'll pass on it.
But maybe someday we'll do a...
Dirty Jobs, right?
Dirty,
with Mike
dirty
Rowe.
Job. Yeah, he never got into that, did he?
You never did get into fluffing.
No.
That might be the dirtiest of jobs, but that's a different definition of dirty.
I think one of the... who is it used to do those the worst jobs ever? And I think the one year that was so funny, is assistant crack whore is one of the worst jobs ever. Because if, you know, crack whores, the assistant is pretty bad. So, out of context...
I mean, in a way,
makes,
though, it could be a way to be a part of that lifestyle without the full obligation.
Right. You can just dip in.
Yeah.
Not be full time.
Something to think about.
Yeah. Part-time crack whore. Who knew?
What else?
Career
what else
day.
Are you doing?
Career day at the elementary school. Okay. Let's move on to Are You Buying It? This week we're going to talk about MVP candidates in the American League and National League. And I'm going to let you kind of, it looks like you have a list here of players in each. And I'm going to, do you have a case to be made for one or just these are the top guys?
Well, we have four and we're going to narrow it down to three. And then I'll say what I think should be, who I think it is right now. And then you can say what you think it is right now.
Okay.
All right. So in the American League, we got Jose Ramirez, surprise Jose Ramirez, home runs, steals, versatile defense.
Yeah. Quality contributor, unknown name in the world, of in the household, unless you're an Indians fan. Everybody knows
I feel
him,
like even if they win the division, he doesn't get in there.
He's the outsider, definitely.
I feel Well, here's the thing. I think if Judge doesn't get his poop together, then Judge is the outsider.
Yeah, he definitely has had a falling off since the All-Star break. He left
it all in Miami. Hasn't come back.
Mm-mm. He struck out in what, like 30-something games in a row?
Oof. I mean, that was always the big concern, right?
Mm-hmm. Chasing pitches, yeah.
I mean, when Trout dropped out of the with the injury for whatever 5 weeks, it looked like, all right, well, so it's Aaron Judge. And, you know, his numbers to start the season are very good. But I do feel like voters – see, part of when I say who's going to win the AL MVP, it's like, well, here's who should win, but let's look at who's going to win,
mm-hmm.
right? And the narrative of not performing down the stretch, I think, is something even I would count.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about wins above replacement, it's like, well, if this guy is 5.6 and this guy is 5.4, that's so close that you have to go to other factors. And some of it is, how do they do it in the last month when the games really counted?
Right. And I think in both leagues right now, you're looking at whatever happens this month is going to be the winner.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a clear cut in either league right now. There's one I would pick in each, but yeah. I think it's wide open in both of them for somebody to put their stamp on it, you know, the next 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. And then so the next two in the AL we have are Mike Trout, who isn't gaining ground at the rate he was gaining ground or making up ground or whatever, progressing to start the season before his injury. So it does seem like there's still some little bit lingering for him that's holding him back from catching up to these other guys. But he'll have to play the full four weeks left. And, you know, without missing too much, he was out the other day with a neck thing. Like, no, Mike, you got to be out there.
Right.
You got to be out there. I don't care about your neck. By the way, how does he have a strained neck? That's all he is.
His neck. His neck starts at his, I think, temples.
That's the biggest neck in baseball.
Yeah.
Anyway, but obviously he's the best player in baseball, but this is more about how much for the season. And, you know, I do think that voters don't like giving the same person the MVP. We see that a lot in the NBA where it's like, yeah, LeBron is really good, but do we want to give it to him 3 years in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's a voice. That's the baseball writers of America, or actually, I guess the basketball writers. Do we really want to give it to? That's not a very bad impression of writers, by the way. Right. A lot of writers do sound like that. Right. What do you think? You think we ought to? You think we ought to research this piece before we publish it in the Washington Post? Yeah, let's put it out there. Someone let us know if it's wrong.
Yeah, that was a good game.
We fired half our copy desk editors, so whatever.
Yeah, the Patriots coming back from down 20. Yeah, it was good. It's okay. Yeah,
Joe Buck. And this is an important moment. Really, Joe? A little bit of enthusiasm wouldn't kill you? Anyway.
Worst ever. We could do a whole show on him every week.
We'll team up with the CDC.
Yeah, so who?
Other player is Altuve, who has started off a little slow this season, but has just been solid. May, June, July, August, and into September. And right
year after
now,
year, too. Last
and
three,
year
four
after
years.
Year. And, yeah. And right now, and it is, again, it's their team is in first place. Trout needs to catch up. To me, this is the guy right now. If we give out the award right now, it's Altuve. What happens over the next 3.5 weeks obviously matters. But right now, it's Altuve's to lose. I think they'll put him out there. I think they want him to have it. This feels like something where he would be like, look, don't bench me because this is important.
Mm-hmm.
An exciting player, man.
Yeah, most definitely. He's a fire plug. And, the fact that he started hitting home runs a couple years ago was like, what?
Yeah.
Power, too?
Yeah.
25 home runs from the little guy. That's pretty impressive. Speed, power, on-base percentage, catalyst, great defender. Good stuff.
Anyway, so that's my AL choice. But I do think that as good as Ramirez is, and of course, he just don't know, he just hit 5 home runs in the last 3 games or something like that. He had a little bit of a slump in all of August, which was, you know, whatever. Every player has a slump. Though I guess Altuve hasn't really had a slump this year. Started off a little slow, but I wouldn't say a slump. So I don't know if, and I just don't think Judge has the actual talent to get back into this race. Though I do think he's probably the rookie of the year in the American League, Or is it, closer now with Benintendi's hot streak? I mean, the thing is, Judge has been bad. Like, he's not. It's not that he hasn't been that great anymore. Like, no. He's been a bad baseball player.
Yeah, I mean, he's only hit what, 4 or 5 home runs since the All-Star break, right?
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, not good.
It's rough. What's happening over the National League, John? What do we got?
Got a few names on here. I think there's one that's missing, but he kind of gets disqualified for where he plays. Charlie Blackmon.
I had thought about putting him on there, and I thought, I mean, his numbers are ridiculous, but would they give him the MVP?
Only if they play, you know, a hot streak down to the wire. He would be the ultimate outsider looking in, but he leads the league.
If they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Which they still can do, though
he'll get some consideration.
I really think that the Brewers just need to win some. Like, they just lost to the Reds today.
They got swept.
7-1 or something.
Swept by the Reds.
Swept by the Reds.
Not
brutal.
Not what you want to do. Back and in.
That is not a good Reds team, too. No. That's not a good situation. And I think they were pretty well beaten, too. I think today was 7-1. The day before was 7-3. Not a pretty sitch.
No, that's why Brian Price got an extension.
Yes. They're celebrating. So, I mean, really, this is one of those things where it's such a crapshoot, right? Like, Goldschmidt, I think Goldschmidt was my choice, but now he's injured a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, then what do you do? So then, all right, so now, okay, so Goldschmidt isn't a lock anymore because he's missing games down the stretch. Votto, I don't think a Reds player, and as great as I think Stanton's been, I just don't think they're going to give it to a team that doesn't, a guy who doesn't make the playoffs this year, just because it's all so closely packed.
Yeah, but Stanton, though, if he's cooled off in the last week, but if he gets into the 60s, mid-60s, I mean, he's trending as of now to have the highest batting average in his career. I think he's up in near the lead league in RBIs. I think what's his name on the Nationals is Rendon is leading that.
Yeah.
But I think he definitely has a chance. You know, if Stanton has a month like last month, I think it's a slam dunk. But he's already off to a slower start.
Yeah.
And no one's going to expect 18 home runs again. But that was a phenomenal run, and it just.
Well, what does he have now? 54.
53, I think. 53. Unless he hit one. Yeah,
so if he gets to 65, I could see him getting the 64, 65. I could see him getting the MVP.
Yeah.
If only because all these other guys are just so.
Yeah, there isn't.
Good.
You know, Bryce Harper, when he had his year a couple seasons ago, was, you know, he led in almost every offensive category on the planet and was phenomenal. There's nobody that's doing that this year. And, you know, people got into the whole. The run that Stanton was on, it was like almost every day. It was like, is he going to hit one today? And it seemed like he did. It was crazy. 18 out of, 28 games? 18 home runs in 28 games. That's pretty phenomenal. So he's, I would say, I mean, if I had to make a choice in the AL, I would say Altuve definitely is the front runner with Trout breathing down his neck. And
yes, and leaning over to do so.
And bending that big bulky neck of his down to reach.
Yes.
In the National League, though, you mentioned Votto, and I mentioned Rendon. Rendon is having a phenomenal season, but is it enough? Is it enough? You know, is he really in the limelight as much? Stanton's grabbed all the headlines. Goldschmidt, I think everybody assumes that he's going to be good. He would have been mine, you know, going into this month. I would say if I had to make a vote, Goldschmidt would be the vote, but there's still a month left. Because he's just, I mean, the on-base percentage, home runs, runs driven
stolen
in.
Stolen bases.
On-base, stolen bases, everything. Yeah. He's got everything. And he's a big guy, and he runs like a gazelle. Not a gazelle man, but a gazelle.
Death of a Gazelleman.
So I see that you have Rendon at the top of your list. Would he be your guy?
I mean, right now, I see the thing I think that Rendon has going against him is I don't think people think he's the team's best player.
Mm-hmm.
I think they think Harper's the team's best player.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so I think that's going to steal votes away from him. So I think right now my pick is Goldschmidt, assuming he isn't out for more than a couple days with this elbow thing or whatever. You know, if you put Votto on a winning team.
Yeah, and slam. I think he would be a slam dunk.
It's so much more likely. But I think a lot of Rendon's wins above replacement, I don't think so many people use that as the...
No.
He's the leader in wins above replacement. But I don't think the sports writers use that, which I don't think they should. We've talked about this before. Like, that's a good starting place for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe Blackman, especially with all the, you know, all the racial tensions that we have.
Right. He's the PC vote. Hey, Moonlighting won best picture.
Hey, I'm not racist. I voted for Blackman. Some of my best friends are Blackman.
Good thing this is comedy, right? It's all comedy. That's all good. Right. In the name of comedy.
That's right.
So, yeah, I would say Goldschmidt would be my lean to Stanton if he gets into the 60s, if he breaks the all-time single season record of 61, I think that he will we've talked about that before. I don't hold that grudge by any means. Baseball's baseball, and everyone was playing in those conditions. If Bonds was the only one doing it, then I would have a problem, but everybody else was too. So therefore, that was the era in which he played. And but I think what Stanton's doing is pretty special. He just has to finish off strong, and then I think he will probably nudge past Goldschmidt. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a month ago, he wasn't anywhere near the top 10.
Not even. And like you said, the All-Star
performance of the year, and then he goes on that run and he gets into the top three, two.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So that does it for our baseball portion.
Yay!
And now we get to move into extra innings, which is a look at what's going on outside of the world of baseball. And, you know, just in case you've been sleeping under a rock or hibernating during the summer, NFL season kicks off this weekend.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I am. I'm going to celebrate it in true Colin Kaepernick style and watch from home.
You're going to take a knee? Bend the knee?
Here it comes, right? Here comes football. The world's...
It is interesting to me, though, and I'm a sports fan. I like sports. I'm a huge baseball fan. But I don't look at baseball in the same way that, you know, football fanatics look. It's like the rest of the world sucks. Now that football's here, we can live and breathe again. All faith has been restored in humanity. I know a lot of people who live and die by football season, and they think the world has come to an end when, you know, the Super Bowl is over. And
well, especially if you're a Falcons fan, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're still hurting from that one, for sure. But everything kicks off tomorrow night, right? Or what, Thursday night? It's Wednesday today.
This week.
Tomorrow night, yeah. So
yesterday. Week,
sometime. Whenever you listen to this. 2017. Do you have, you know, not that we're going to go through predictions.
I mean,
the
Patriots are just obviously they're the favorites to win it all again.
But Edelman going down, does that change?
Even with Edelman, next man up. That's the thing about that team. Edelman wasn't like a great player. He was the next man up after Welker. This is how this team is built, and they got that new wide receiver, that deep threat.
And everybody was like, who's Wes Welker again? We got Edelman. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's they always have somebody who steps up and picks up the pace. And we've got 40-year-old Tom out there.
So slinging it. Slinging it like a kid.
Stezzy still has a few more years left in him. He wants to play till he's 45, and you know, Belichick's like, sure, I want to keep working for five more years.
It just so happens that's as long as I want to coach.
Right, perfect. Let's do this together. So yeah, it's always interesting. The Seahawks fans out here are chomping at the bit. They've made some moves that they feel have really elevated the team to the next level. And I'm a Raiders fan, so I'm excited to see the Marshawn Lynch 2-year era kickoff this weekend. So
and so now the Raiders are playing in Oakland this year, right?
Two more years in Oakland, then Vegas.
Okay. And then the Chargers are playing in Los Angeles.
Soccer stadium, right?
Right.
That they couldn't they couldn't sell out during the preseason.
Oh, no.
27,000
And then the Rams
seats.
Are in Los Angeles.
Yes. So we got the the Chargers were playing. Were they both playing in the same soccer stadium? Where are the Chargers playing? Yeah, that's where the Chargers are playing.
I don't know where they're playing.
Yeah. The Chargers are playing at the L.A. Chargers are playing there. The Rams are playing at the... Where are they playing? The Coliseum?
The Coliseum?
Is that where they're playing?
Yeah. That seems right.
Until this mega complex is built, I think that's still 2 years away, right? Or a year away?
Honestly, when I left Los Angeles, I left all of that behind me.
Yeah, there's going to be that big, huge, shiny metal object out in the... It's out in... It's not in L.A., right? It's in Irwindale or something. I don't even know.
This is the worst NFL preseason chat that anyone's ever had.
Like, are you guys going to get into anything relevant and good? Let's go back to Tom Brady. Let's talk about Tom Brady.
Like, now, honestly, this is the worst. We couldn't have done a worse job previewing the NFL season. Like, if we had sat down and were like, how could we do this the worst way possible?
Yeah,
we couldn't have come up with something this bad. Let's move on to the next thing. Who cares? NFL, yay, good.
Okay, so the next thing is on the heels of Harvey, which we talked about, you know, last week. We've got Irma, you know, breathing down Harvey's neck and making Harvey look irrelevant based on the numbers that are coming in now. Are you fearful of Irma? Is that why you're heading west?
It would be funny, right? Yeah. I think it would hit, by the time I'm leaving, it would have hit already.
Okay. But if it could do the buzzsaw thing up the coast, so you might, you know, it looks like it's going to curve out as it gets a little bit further north into the Atlantic, so I don't think it's going to be an issue. Yeah. It's not going to be Sandian in nature, which was pretty horrific in the New York area, tri-state area. But it's, I mean, Irma's looking pretty scary.
It's looking pretty fierce, John.
Yeah. 185 mile an hour wind sustained, 225 mile gusts. That doesn't happen too often. So I had tons of friends and family down in South Florida. I don't know if any of them listen to this show, but if you are, hold on tight, hang in there.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Okay, enough about hurricanes. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it next week, you know, in the aftermath of what's left of the peninsula of Florida.
That's right.
But on to the most important thing, probably of the entire show, the Kardashian clan or the West clan, depending on, I don't know. I mean, I think it's more of a Kardashian than a West thing. They're expecting.
He's definitely a hop on to that clan.
Yeah. he's sucking on the teat of the Kardashians. they're expecting another kid. And this time they don't want to damage the goods.
The goods are pretty well damaged. Well, they were damaged before she had any kid because she was with Ray J. I don't know if you've seen that video. Ay caramba. But yeah, they decided to have their third with a surrogate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I was surprised to hear Kris Jenner volunteer for it. But
really? Did she?
Someone
really?
Else. John, this is jokes, man.
Oh, I was like, wow. That
Come
would
on. She's Kris like... Jenner's all dried up inside.
I thought she was just going to, she's like, I want a little Kanye.
That's so gross.
Keeping it all in the family.
Though, to be fair, we all want a little Kanye.
So baby number three is on the way. And yeah. I saw this note, keeping in the Kardashian vein, that Sharon Osbourne called Kim a hoe for all her nudity, and it's not in the name of femininity, it's in the name of selling sex and using that as leverage to make money. And you know what I say to that? If you got it, you know, why
if
not?
You're a whore, you're a whore. It's like the old saying goes, if you are a whore, you are a whore.
And on that note, to whores everywhere, we'll see you next week.
All right, John, we'll talk soon.